I mean, you like the death as much also give the accused the right to go to appeal to the appeal court. Approach the appeal court also. So on what basis did he say that? I mean, it's prior 1992, he was fed up, he was and that this makes it the letter that he wrote to them. And the, in the vein that they wrote the letter was saying that this man did not see any chance or he had to convict people. By hook or by crook he had to convict people. Now, as you know, sorry, we can't much on fringe on the judiciary because they are part of the executive. But the Supreme Court of Appeal and the Constitutional Court has found in many cases that trial judges has erred. In many cases, in many cases. We can pull all the cases. I mean, our learned friends there can agree or disagree with me. Even they have said that trial judges has erred. I mean, after a court case you'll always find them, they've got special cafes or clubs or bars to go and drink a coffee and says or something, says, hey, you know, that judge today made a big mistake, but I'm going to challenge him tomorrow. So who says just Lichtenberg has not made a mistake? Who says he did not err in this trial? Because, first of all, it took away their right to appeal. It took away their leave to appeal. Not even a full bench has come to that decision, but he himself. He himself. So I think on that basis, he has erred also. Because he should have referred the matter to a full bench to say that I'm granting your leave to appeal. As much as we respect them, but they can also make mistakes. Chair. So I think that is one of the things that we have to. The other question, Chair, that I want to ask, in terms of the early parole or release, hasn't the minister got that right to waive the 20 years? Has the minister got that right to waive the 20 years? Is it only the president? But can the president can do that on recommendation of the Minister of Correctional Services. Can the president then do that on recommendation of the Minister of Correctional Services? Because if a man, Chair, insists that he's innocent for 17 or 18 years, then I don't know. What more must you do to say that you're innocent for 18 years? And a trial judge says, no, but you are not innocent. Our legal system. You know, I mean, we can go into details about the transformation of the judiciary and all those stuff, all those things. And this is a simple case in terms of what we are fighting now for. Transformation of our judiciary. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Mo Fokeng.
Thanks very much, Chair. Chair, I arrived late. I did not hear when Mr. Daniels started with his presentation, but I am interested to know. He has already mentioned that the conviction was arrived at because of the sufficient material evidence that was led in the court. With regard to conspiracy or the planning, was it established that the two were part of the planning? Was it established in court? Secondly, Chair, with regard to the approach to the TRC, I interacted with the TRC as a victim of human rights abuse. Even criminals tried to exploit that moment. People with pure criminal records wanted to exploit and presented to the TRC that their actions were politically motivated. Many of the applications were declined. I'm just asking myself, Chairperson, that here are the people, I think the lawyers who advised them told them that if their presentation will be acceptable to the TRC, they are going home. Here are six people, four of them have been released. What made these people not to say for wanting to go home? We were part of, we committed that matter. How can people, for lack of a better word, be so stupid to deny the opportunity that if you say you committed that matter, you will go home? And at the same time, Chairperson, people have a different upbringing. I'm just wondering that I will not for a moment be also take the advantage of the opportunity to be freed when I know that I have not committed a murder. Murder is a very serious offense, and to have the stigma for the rest of my life that I am associated with murder when I have not committed that murder. I think we have to feel for them, Chairperson, and give them the benefit of the doubt that indeed they have not committed that crime. Thanks, Chair.
I'm still Chairperson till further notice. I'm still in charge of this meeting. Almost most members are talking about that Section 82 as it was hinted earlier on even by Mr. Modis, but I'm not going to suppress people. You'll have an opportunity, Mr. Mbudi and Modis and our learned friend, to come in and engage. But let me recognize Mohobe, and then Maine will be number two. I think we'll be closing it, Madila, before going that side.
Chairperson, I think the committee has got a cause to pursue here. Getting the presentations, the documents at our disposal, all those legal interpretations, we have a cause to pursue. When I listened to correctional service, I was a bit confused by one element. The way the legal side was interpreted to us. One, yes, it's as it is, but I thought if that is the attitude, these people might not be released. Precisely because law is law, matter is matter. The way it was presented, I thought we would get these options as given, to say these are the options that the committee can pursue. Of course, they are given. But we must also get, you know, the correctional service on this case must also be remorseful if we would want to assist these people to be released out of prison. I'm saying this, Chair, precisely because even at the introductions of this interpretation, no one has applied their minds. They were not applying their minds, that's what they said. Maybe they were applying their hearts. And then how do we then move forward? Because why we want them here is to present all options. And the committee would be able to possibly say this is the option that we are taking and would recommend that this happen. I know the popular view is that of Section 82, which I also concur, but would want a situation where it is not, it's not us and them, because the committee here represents the people who we think they are there wrongfully.
the very same doctrine that they are talking about, which is incarcerating these people. To me also it was not well thought of. If the app that has been released through amnesty because they actually practically committed murder, why those that are associated with them remain? Because the very same doctrine should it must apply. Unless if this doctrine is one side of the same coin, it's only very, very dogmatic on one side. But if it's a doctrine that can be interpreted by learned judges or whatever, therefore, on the basis of the very same text, these people must be out tomorrow. Because those who committed murder, who are associated with those who are inside, are out. And therefore, let the doctrine apply. Or maybe let there be any interpretation further broadly to say why then. If I'm associated with somebody who killed and is out, why should I remain? Because my associate is out. On the basis of friendship, I remain. I think let it be opened. And also maybe to correct ourselves. On this case, I'm not saying open the loophole to all general cases of criminals that are caught, whatever. On this one, really, it's clear that these people are there and failed because the people who confessed are out. And these people who did not do anything, they were just merely associated with this group, are still there, charged with the murder that they did not commit. I'm not sure what will happen in heaven if we leave these things like that, those of us who have authority over this case. What fairness are we going to tell God that we're fair on these people? I think I need to appeal to say we need, as a committee, really, to say we are a correctional service. These are options, but we should not be intimidated by impossibilities. We must also be given probabilities, because it's not only language of possibilities, there are probabilities on the basis of this one. And to me, it's a matter of making that recommendation to the presidency, you know, to say, on the basis of this, I think the president, you are covered. If we can recommend that these people, on the basis of this attitude, this position, because you can't say people must at least, even if they do not kill, and you advise them, go to court and say you have killed, even if you do not kill. You have killed to be free. These people's circumstance tells us that they do not kill. It's like even during those era that once you are a friend of a thief, you are a thief, even if you do not steal. Otherwise, if the doctrine cannot be broadly looked, even those families of the people who murdered must go to jail. It says so, if we are not broadly looking at it. But if we broadly look at it, now these people would have been, by yesterday, be released on the basis of the very same principle that we say they are charged with. The very same principle can release them if it is looked at very, very, very broadly. But if we are looking at it on the basis of saying, no, they are killers, they are murderers, even if they don't murder, they won't be out. I think we need a change of attitude, democratic attitude, transformative mind. But if that is that narrow mind of apartheid, these people won't be out. Thank you.
Now we're in. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm worried that we are going to debate it for the whole day. My suggestion is that, Chair, we have heard what the representative of the office of the presidency and the colleagues from correctional services have said, and the arguments we are advancing, the relevant people are not here for us to then advance this argument, because I think from a political perspective, we are looking at this thing from a political perspective. We are not administrators. Because most of us are saying here we know what happened before 1994. Even administrators know, but because of the positions they occupy, they cannot come to the very same determination that we are coming to. They are lies, right? In my view, we have heard their presentation. So I would want to suggest, Chair, that as to what other action we are going to take, because I have always maintained that a legal opinion remains an opinion, it's not a fact, right? Now, what everybody presented, including the state's chief state lawyer, it remains an opinion, it's not a fact. Understand? Even in court, that's why it must go to court, so that we test this thing until a determination is arrived at, right? Now, we cannot take, as politicians, decisions based on opinions. And we got a political mandate, right? And we are convinced in terms of what we have said previously and what honorable members have said here today, that those people are there on. Now, the administrators have assisted us in terms of ways to explore, right? Whether we want to reopen the case, which is another 10 years, which I don't think we want to go that route. We want, in our view, at the political level, we want them out as in yesterday. Now, with this Section 82, as you said, Chairperson, that maybe it seems to be quicker. I think it's something that as a committee must then sit without the colleagues being here, saying we can release them and in 5 minutes we decide whether we reopen, we advise them to reopen the case, or we assist those citizens of South Africa to explore Section 82, because we must stand with them side by side until we are convinced as a committee that fairness has prevailed. Now, I'm suggesting that if Alegema Kaban, then the committee takes a decision, go to, this is the route you're going to take, because we will not leave this thing. We will not leave it until fairness prevails. But now, I think it's not necessary for us to continue this matter. We got the side of the story. Now, a committee must come, Chairperson, to a determination and say what is it that you are going to do in timelines and all of that, so that can see by like my cover the Abonga Chairperson.
Before we can close it, I'll allow you, if ever there's anything that you feel you want to, I'll come to you. I've noted you and Bloom. I'll allow you, Mr. Daniels, Mr. Mbuli, if ever there are things that you wanted to say, to you'll come at the end.
Chairperson, thank you. Let me just say from my side, I've never referred to the petitioners as killers. In fact, I've made it clear that we got to accept that they weren't the killers. And I think it's very important for the committee not to lose sight of the fact that the petitioners don't regard themselves as killers. And I think the honourable member's suggestion that the committee now takes a decision is a very good one. In our absence is even better, so that you don't seem to be being influenced by these opinions that we're giving. And then, Chairperson, honourable committee members, we have indicated that there are different options open to the petitioners. And of course, this committee can now apply its mind to those options and make a political decision, which ultimately has to be made regarding the case. Thank you, Chairperson.
Mr. Mbuli.
Thank you, Chair. The options that we highlighted are very clear. It is now for this committee to take a political decision and lead us to the way forward. From the legal desk of DCS, I won't have a problem if they are released, provided, I mean, due process is followed. I mean, you reach the presidency, their party, then I don't have a problem. If it's ordinary parole, you must wait for 20 years. Chairperson, ordinary parole, you will see I get excited when I talk about this, because I'm also concerned about the other lifer. If it's ordinary parole, they create a problem for me with the other lifers now. Because there are many others that we fight every day. We have got role, I mean, a long role in the court. But the other options are fine with me. Pardon, reopening the case, Section 82, that doesn't create a problem. The ordinary, what's called the parole, at least 20 years. They were very strict because there are other people that were fighting with in the courts. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks. Before you get in, it's very clear that as a committee, we are very clear that we don't want to set a wrong precedent. We are very clear on that one. And we are very clear that at no stage are we going to entertain an issue if all avenues has not yet been exhausted by a petitioner. We are very clear on that one. And we are very clear on the third very important point, that the reason why we had legal minds in this meeting is that we don't want to violate the rules of this country. Actually, we are the people who are responsible for them, and we are the custodian of those acts and rules. There's no way that we're going to violate any. That is why we are happy when we're being presented options that at no stage are going to undermine the acts of this country. On that one, there's no compromise. We're very clear. Honourable members, before releasing them, I don't know, because we're going still to try to conclude as members, I don't know whether you want to speak in their presence or must we allow them to leave us so that we can conclude, because there are things that we have to speak on their presence. Okay, it's going to be Matila in blue, then after that.
Before I go the route that the last member that spoke, because I thought I would suggest that at the end, but I want to indicate one point. You see, and I want to refer to the Justice Department and Correctional Services, that you see, I agree that administrators who implement the policies that are there, you know, do not necessarily take political decisions, but they are there to administer and deal and make sure that laws are correctly applied to. But you see, my major problem is that selectively, particularly if you go to the Justice Department, we want to blame apartheid on other issues, ne? But own up other issues that we think even that were done wrong by apartheid. And that is not done by politicians. It's done by administrators. And I'm saying, particularly, maybe bringing this to you, the chief law advisor, that you know, those are some of the issues that frustrates the implementation of what is supposed to be implemented. I mean, if you listen to the introduction around, and usually it's legal people that usually does that, with a legal background, the introduction that came in from Correctional Services, because there's something that he must protect, deal with, which is a problem, you know, and not broadly think of everything else and deal with that. Now he wants to apply the law as it comes and not look broadly as to what the situation is. And that's the point I wanted to raise, because I think it is important for yourselves to assist this government. You know, you need to, in a way, before, and it will be important if you present in future, apply your minds first. Because we have not done that, and that's what you've indicated, the short notice, all those issues. You know, there might be issues that you have left out. Please feel free to advise this committee before we even take a final decision around this particular matter in the way we must move forward. Chair, when I conclude, I think it is important that I just wanted to second the member, because that's what I wanted to raise so that we can then move forward.
Honorable Bloom.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Chairperson, no, this is a point of concern that I'm raising, and I'm happy that the correctional services is still here. There's an alert on my cell phone now that two inmates have escaped from waiting trials from Polsmo. And the two gentlemen who are sitting there, that side, I wonder if they are not the suspects who are sitting. I'm just asking. I'm not saying it's them. So I'm happy that you are still here because you can attend to that matter patiently. Thank you very much.
Thanks for getting this short notice and respecting this committee and this institution. While grabbing drinks and going out, shaking hands, and the researcher getting the relevant documents from the presentation, we'll take a 2 minutes break and then we convene as a committee. 2 minutes break.
This one I'm not there. and chiefs,
to which a petition has been referred may refer the subject matter of the petition to the executive or a particular department or other administrative agents for further attention, subject to the approval of the chairperson of the council. That's number one. Number two is saying powers of the committee. A committee considering a petition may recommend to the House any cause of action it deems it fit. If, as a committee, we have a particular position, it means we can go to the House and recommend, and the House has a particular role to play when dealing with a petition. The first one is dealing with the role of the chairperson. So there is a general consensus that we are opting for the section 82, and it was even hinted, as I highlighted earlier on in our previous meeting, but we said it's better to have the understanding of the department and all the relevant stakeholders. But it's clear from today's meeting, we've had the engagement and it was really helpful. So I want us to discuss the way forward of this matter. I don't see us dragging long. We're dealing specifically with the way forward. It's going to be Adams, then Bloom.
Yeah, Chair. From talking from experience in using Section 234 previously, as chairperson, you can, if the committee so much advice, that we can then ask the chairperson that we want the minister. We're going to invite the minister, as the rules say, the executive, and the department, the DG, or acting DG, the minister and the department on this matter, to engage in Section 82. Because what the technocrats or what the officials did this morning was not to engage us fully. And the minister has got certain powers in terms of the Correctional Services Act. That's why Honorable Bloom was fighting with the minister when he was still the chairperson. But the minister has got certain powers, and on recommendations that the committee must make to the minister then can approach the president in terms of Section 82. So I think our first point of departure, I would recommend that the committee should invite the minister, but then on our recommendation, you could, as chairperson of the committee, recommend to the chairperson of the council that we would like to have the executive powers, which is the minister as the rule says, and the department present in our meeting. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Bloom.
No, Chairperson, I think that my colleague here, Mr. Adams, is taking us back now again to have another meeting. You have read two the power. The one is saying we as a committee can write to the chairperson of the council. Is that correct?
Yes.
Our recommendation. That is one. The second one is that we can also ask for the House to approve our recommendation. It's two separate ones, isn't it?
Yeah, correct.
Right. Now, I will propose that we take the first one. We write to the chairperson and say that this is our recommendation as this committee. That is. The second one, chairperson, that is my proposal. The second one, chairperson, is that we must be specific when we come to section 82. We must not only say section, because there is remittance of sentence. We take that one, not the entire section 82. We quote section 82, but then we say that line. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Zeman.
Chair, excuse me. I'm inclined, Chair, to think, looking at effectiveness, I'm inclined to second the suggestion by Freddie, because you see what we want to get quick action. Having a minister before us, DG before us, we conclude the matters like how Comrade Maine wanted these matters to be concluded. That the decision is made, the determination is made, and concluded there and then. We leave it to the minister. The process of going council, chairperson to the correctional service committee, council, to the minister, I think for me it's longer. Thanks, Chair.
My appeal. We have the general consensus. The common purpose is the sooner the better for us to have these people out. But now we are struggling. What is the best possible option that will speed the process? I want us to not to be like the fundi, the legal minds. I want us to be very practical about it. What is it that can objectively assist us to speed up this thing? We have these two proposals. Let's engage on them. Anything that will make it quicker for us to achieve our objective. Let me have you, Chan, Honorable Chan.
No, Chair, you see, in light of what you want to achieve, I would suggest, so that there are no hiccups, having listened carefully to what Enver was saying, I would suggest that, you see, we want to have a buy-in of the minister, right, on our decision. So that when it goes to the president, both us as a committee and the executive sing the same song. So it will be proper that at a very earliest convenience, maybe if you can arrange that by next week, we have such a meeting with the minister here, so that the minister can be advised of our views and how did we come to those views, so that she support our views, and we follow section what you call section 82 remittance, right? And immediately after that meeting, then a letter. I don't know whether it will have to come to give it more weight, be endorsed by the House before the letter goes to the President, so that it goes to the President, that be now the decision of Parliament. I don't know. But at the same time, Chair, so that there are no hiccups, I think we should also simultaneously take the offer of ENVA from the independence point of view to urgently meet with those two petitioners and explain the whole doctrine, and so that if there will be anything that is needed to be reflected upon in terms of our letter to the president, something that is coming from them, it also get facilitated quick. You understand what I'm saying? And then in that way, I think all these things, if we can all agree that once we have, because the decision is also, we should strive to have all these things happening within 21 days from now. I think they have been in prison for 17 years. They will be patient to wait for 21 days. I don't think it's too long.
Honorable Maine.
No, Chairperson, the Utsanwe valid, but you are Mosa when he finishes. The last, I agree with the first part of what he said. Now, this thing of sending, who's that Surti or Enver? Those people have, many people have gone there to listen to those people. And you would Chairperson, bear testimony to the fact that, you know, we can't. These people, it's so painful. They are crying. Now, we don't want to see them crying again. You know, when they present the story, it's very sad. Let us stop sending number of delegation of people. We are coming to a determination that we want the minister, and that's it. This thing, these people are crying. It's very painful to see a 46-year or 50-year-old man crying. I feel like crying even myself now. So let's, if you can just close it on that note, and allow you, Chairperson, to do the administrative part and meet them. Even if they want to meet us on Saturday, because you're committed, the minister will go. Right, we'll go because this thing is very serious. Thank you.
Honorable Rajiv.
Yeah, no, Chair, I think let me agree that this, we go there, because I've also thought this option of meeting with the minister, as explained by Chan, also gives us an opportunity so that we also meet with our internal legal people who must advise us on the wording, the specifics that Member Bloom is talking about, as to how do we deal with those specifics. Because we need to say Section 82, and these are the reasons. What are the reasons? You know, and so that we specify the reasons, so that we are, when meeting with the minister, that is going to assist us to come with those specifics, you know, so that, you know, you consult with our own legal people, they advise the way they can advise and deal with all those issues. And when we meet with the minister, we are able to can put points forward, and those just don't come here and deal with things the way we're dealing with them, as we got presentations from the department, those two departments. Thank you.
Members, well, I don't want to talk about numbers of saying what, but I want to take you back and say I'm definitely more comfortable that what we have done to the correctional service guy, because if you listen very careful to them, they never presented similar view. Modise, who's coming from Bloemfontein, Free State, was very clear that I'm not a legal person, but I've gone through this thing, and he presented an option. And the director legal section hasn't even bothered to go through to understand. He just had this view that these people are murderers. So if you go to this section that we're quoting, 82, it's saying, if you can read it, at any time, powers of the president, at any time authorize the, despite any provision to the contrary, the president may at any time authorize the placement on correctional supervision or parole of any sentenced prisoner subject to such conditions as may be recommended by the correctional services supervision and parole board under whose jurisdiction such prisoner may fall in the case of prisoner serving a life sentence by the court, and B, by remit any part of the prisoner's sentence. Why I'm reading it, I want to read it in what was written by the Director General of Justice in 2001 petition in terms of section Criminal Procedure Act 1977. I quote, with reference to the above mentioned matter, attached here find the letter received from the South African Prisoners Organization regarding the application of amnesty for of Mofokeng Mokoena. For your comment, please. It appears that this is not one which can be dealt with under section 327 of the above mentioned act, due to the fact that Mofokeng and Mokoena averment that they were not present when the acts were committed does not constitute new evidence. They may, however, consider applying for pardon in terms of section 84 to Roman Figure J of the Constitution. Kindly provide the Director General with your comments in this regard. Yours faithfully. I'm reading this thing deliberately to indicate the bureaucracy that we might find ourselves getting in if we are just going to limit ourselves in writing. But if we can have them here, take the process like today, out of that meeting, we'll understand where we are going as a committee. And the act is saying the president is going to act based on the recommendation by the correctional service. And you might end up having the letter being referred to another official who will come with that mentality of saying, no, these people can be allowed. It won't be long to have 2012. In 2012, it's going to be 20 then. We'll look it after that option. But if we can be in a meeting and deal with facts and engage, I'm of the opinion that we might end up winning, all of us, because the objective is to help them out. But I'm appealing to all of you of the spirit of taking this, as we said when we started as a committee, that we are dealing with complex matters, learning every day, and out of it, maybe we'll derive a pleasure once you have really assisted people where a question is posed, do we really have a justice? Where is the justice? Especially in their case. Not unless maybe there's any other matter in relation. Honorable Bloom?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. We must also be very, very direct to the minister. That the minister must not come alone, she must come with a legal department. Otherwise, she will say that, no, I've listened to you, I will discuss it with my legal department. I'm not a legal person. We must be very specific and clear to say she must come with the legal department.
It is. Yeah, no, it's summing up everything so that we can be able even to call today's meeting. We are resolving this one by the understanding that we'll call that urgent meeting next week, where we'll have the minister. We'll work out the date. We'll suggest the is the Minister of Correctional Services, not Justice. Yeah, it's the Minister of Correctional Services, because we're using the Correctional Service Act. Yeah. So, I don't know whether do we have anything that we feel we want to raise in relation to this one. Honorable Mofokeng?
This is just to brief the committee. I was summoned on Freedom Day by the group of activists from Bethlehem who wanted to know how far is the committee in dealing with the matter. And they have initiated a signature campaign to back up the efforts of the community in seeking the release of those petitioners.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah. Honorable Adams, want to respond? Yeah, no, I wanted to say Matila was 100% correct in our last meeting, but if we're not on top of the situation, you'll have this public discourse and you'll end up following this case. So the sooner we try to make sure that we're in charge, and the better, because an impression will be created that no, because of the signature campaign, there's nothing that has been done by a committee. After all, they're going to be out of that. But if there are people who are supporting that good cause, Adams?
Chair, now, the rules also makes provision for you as chairperson or the committee to inform the petitioners at what stage the committee are. If you look further down, Rule 35, I think it's Rule 36 or something, but the committee should keep the petitioners informed. It's one of the requirements. And just on the clarity of Comrade Honorable Bloom, Chair, it is the rule that says that we should write to the chairperson to inform him that we are calling a member of the executive. Because remember, this committee will deal with a lot of members of the executive. We won't be just for one member or so on, as the other select committees are, Chair. But I think it's very important that we inform the petitioners where, what stages we are, and the committee is giving its urgent attention to the matter.
Definitely, we'll officially do that.
Just a recommendation during the process of meeting the minister. You must have a media conference yourself and report to the nation about the process.
Honorable Chan?
Yeah, Chair. I just wanted to explain my last point as was contested. You see, listen first, because people were saying, No. Chair, we were told here, and I'm convinced they are right. It is not only enough for you as a prisoner to say, I never did that, and full stop. You see. But those people are lay people. That's why they are saying, we never killed anybody. We were not part of that particular thing. That we agree, they were not there. That is the basis why we are saying they're supposed not to be there. But there are certain things that appear in the court paper, I mean in the judgment itself, where this circumstantial evidence, where they agree, I saw them carrying guns. They were in my house to sleep. At least, even if you say I never killed anybody, I was not there, but you should be able to admit certain things that you have already admitted to, particularly if we are to write to the president. Otherwise, anybody who's in jail who consistently say, I've been here 25 years and I'm still saying I did nothing wrong, will present a case to us and say, I did nothing wrong, and on the basis of the same argument, look at my case. You understand what I'm saying? We won't lose anything, or those people lose anything, if an independent person goes there, particularly on the view, even today. The same lawyers that caused them to be in jail are still advising them wrongly even today. So remove those lawyers, get somebody independent who will explain to them in their level so that they understand. And if there's a need for them to either put affidavits that will support or whatever, they are able to say at least 1 to 3 agree, but murder, we are not part of that one.
Honorable members, when we went to Kronstadt, we made an undertaking to them that the entire committee is going to be on top of the situation, and it will time and again keep them posted about what is happening. The last time I spoke to them was yesterday, early in the morning, and there is nothing that is stopping us as a committee, even if a decision can be taken that they are going to be released on this date. We can go there, the entire committee, and we can still want to see them integrated in society. It's not a secret that you have academics that are waiting outside, preparing a book about these people. It's not a secret. I'm aware of three professors two of them were even intending to come today, one fighting for human rights thing. So whatever thing that we feel we have to assist them, if we have the time, we'll invite a date, we are going to go there. But let us first deal with this hug that is in front of us now of next week, securing the minister and dealing with the details of this thing. Then after next week, we'll know what next. By virtue of powers that were given to me as chair of this meeting today, I officially declare this one closed.
Let's take care.